handed out, brought notes. Those are mainly so that you can kind of keep up. They tie with Philippians chapter 4, the first five verses, that in your quiet time or spare time that as you would take and be able to study. And we look and we think about church and the fellowship that takes place within the body of Christ, the uniqueness of the church, and many times we see individuals, they have a struggle in trying to understand and thinking that the church is some organized type of a group of people, much like a business, but it goes far beyond that. The church is a living, vital organism that God is just moving mightily through because of the connection that we have with one another through Christ. And then to know and understand that the Holy Spirit indwells us to empower us, to guide us, and to direct us. And as we began looking 2 weeks ago at Philippians chapter 4, we covered the first challenge that Paul gives to the church to encourage them, to remind them as he closes out this letter, that they would continue to remember who they are and their purpose and their walk, and that they would be a lighthouse that shines out into the darkness around them that would draw those in who need to come to know Christ. And again, as we read in chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Yodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." So we see and we think about this aspect of the body of Christ, a fellowship of believers joined together because of the focus on who their purpose in this body that is vibrant, live, and moving. This evening, as we sang in the opening of a time of worship, if you look at those three songs that were sung in that opening time of worship, it speaks about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a connecting point for our lives. Those three songs are so full of theological rightness that we can take and that we use in our lives. But this evening, as we begin to look here, as we looked at the first challenge last week, and we begin to see that he continues challenging the church in their walk. That first challenge was to stand firm in the Lord. And we look and we think about this aspect of standing firm, just to reflect back 2 weeks ago. It is the understanding of standing in the truth of the Word, standing strong in that Word, to allow that Word to lead and guide our lives, that it helps us to stay focused on the purpose of the body of Christ, this fellowship. Isn't it so good to come in and as you see a vibrant body and you know that it is healthy because of the communicating amongst the members of that body, the joy that is experienced in their very lives as being about their life throughout the week. And we see that as we come together, that desire to be together. And it basically what it is, it's an extension. So often we look at life, it's an extension of our biological family so much. Matter of fact, many times the brothers and sisters in Christ are actually a larger support to the believer's life because we're here to encourage one another. As individuals deal with struggles in their lives and the darkness that is in their life, and we're not exempt from it, We see that encouragement that comes, and we see that taking place as Paul writes in this letter. And to think to stand firm in the Lord. As you think back, and I said that aspect of standing firm in God's Word is the stubborn application of God's Word in your life. And as we allow God's Word to penetrate our life, and as it works in our life, we begin to see that it is that connecting point that builds on the other three challenges that Paul gives us in this passage. We see that second challenge that he places before us this evening. He says, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. Those names are written in the book of life. We see these two names. They're beautiful names. And we see Euodia means prosperous journey. Syntyche means good luck. Here we have two women in the Philippian church who were known as prosperous and fortunate. We see that there is something that took place, don't know, and nothing's explained on what went on or exactly what's taking place, but it's clear that there is a contention between these two who had worked together so well. These two that had cooperated side by side with fellow workers sharing the gospel message. And here Paul begins to relate that as they're face-to-face in confrontation, that he encourages the church and challenges these two women that they would come to a reasonable understanding of what's taking place and know that each of those, that it is in the Lord that they can walk in a life that they would stand together. And Paul not only challenged the Philippians to stand firm, we see that he also encourages them to stand together in the purpose that is laid before them. And we think about, well, what does this mean? Paul did not mean that they need to all become exactly this alike, walking in likeness. And so often, as I've shared many times with individuals, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if every one of us were alike? God places us into the body of Christ in our own unique way and being, that He gives us the opportunity to minister as we allow Him to lead, guide, and direct us, and knowing the purpose that He has for us. You know, Paul means that as we come together, that they would carry out the ministry, not all the same as a same function in the church, or to perform the same ministries in the church. He said that they were to instead to put their minds on the same things. Know what the prime thing is? Place our minds and our thoughts on the gospel, on the truths of God's Word, to have the same purpose. We look at churches across our land and in this community. A church many times has a mission statement, a statement with a few words that defines their purpose. And when you begin focusing on that aspect of the church, and we begin to see that it helps us to be motivated by the same passion. And that passion is to share the gospel message, to see even as those come to Christ and as the believers gather together in a time of worship and a time of study, that we would grow in the Lord. That aspect of standing firm in the Lord will help us to stand together, to serve the Lord and further his cause was a desire for Paul for those people, a people that he loved dearly. Subjecting to Christ and His Word will save the church from the division and dissension within the body. You see, it is focusing on that which we're to be about. When there's disunity in the church, it hurts the testimony of the Church of Christ. You know, we look and we think about, this is a reason that Paul urges these people and the church to be united in their thinking. He pleads with these two women who had came alongside him. He encourages the church to help them to see and understand their purpose. Notice what he writes in Philippians 2:2. He says, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." He says over in Philippians 3:15-16, he says, "All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." You know, we look and we think about, as we minister many times, we can have different views on ministry. But by the Spirit of God working in us, we can come to an understanding that we can walk and work together. We look and we think about within the aspects of ministries that God will lead each and every one of us to a particular area that He gifts us in ministering in ministry, and they all will complement that major prime purpose of the church. Notice as he writes to the church in Corinth, as 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought." We begin to look and we see here's that aspect, knowing and understanding the in this mind of being focused and understanding that it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that as we can come together agreeing, together, united, standing firm together, walking. We build the fellowship of the church when we keep our eyes off of each other and focus our attention on Him. And when we set our mind on the work of Christ that He has for us to do, we see that we can stand together. There was a story of a church that had a heated discussion about purchasing an organ for the church. The one who was very adamantly against that purchase of the organ finally lost out. The next Sunday, he walked into the sanctuary for worship. Another member was there and said, "I wasn't sure that you would be back after what happened last Sunday." And he replied, "You don't think I'd let a little thing like an organ stand between me and my church?" The aspect of coming to worship. That spirit, that's the very spirit that Paul expresses in our text this evening. It is that spirit that we need to reflect in our churches, to stand together as we stand firm. Notice what he says for the third challenge down in verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Every word in this verse presents a special truth. Rejoice suggests the attitude in which every Christian should face life. And some people face life with a very pessimistic way of moving through life. They can find a cloud in every silver lining. They always are on the dark side. They're always gloomy. They're always negative. And so often I think many times they have a cloud over them. But as Paul writes here to us, and he suggests that there's another approach to life. Another spirit with which to face the challenges of each day. Paul said, rejoice. And this word, rejoice, is in the imperative, reminding us that this disposition of joy, this optimistic spirit, it can be and should be cultivated in the life of the believer. Notice over in Acts 5:41, it says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for His name. If you reflect upon that chapter, they were out sharing the gospel message, and in sharing the gospel message, they were taken in and told, you're not to speak in the name of Christ. And yet it says, and because as they were being attacked for sharing the truth and sharing what they knew, it says they rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Christ. You know, we look and we think about our knowledge and intimacy with Christ will lead us to joy. And that is the key to rejoicing in the Lord. The joy that the Lord provides also gives us enough strength to face trials and sufferings. There's none of us that are exempt from trials and suffering. J.I. Packard said, joy is not an accident of temperament or an unpredictable providence. Joy is a matter of choice. And so often someone may say, well, you can't approach life with that attitude. But I'm here to say that you can through Christ. Matter of fact, this is a command that Paul gives us. It is not out of the realm of a possibility in the Christian's life that we experience joy. It is that imperative mood as a command that Paul said, rejoice. Even in the suffering and the dark times in our lives. Here we see, he says, the word always reminds us that we're to approach life with this attitude. All the time, every day, not just in the good times, but even in the dark times of our lives, we can experience that joy, that rejoicing, because it comes from what has taken place in our life. And as we see that he writes here and we begin to note that this aspect of knowing and understanding, Paul says that we can always rejoice because it is in the Lord. You see that phrase within Philippians basically about seven times as you read through it, because it is in the Lord. It is through Him that it is possible for us to have a view of life as a whole that will enable us to stand the shocks of temporary sorrow and suffering and still experience joy. I'm so ever reminded as individuals deal with cancer and that fearful word we see, and so often many people will look and think about how can they go deal with that? How can they go through that? It is because of that relationship with Christ that carries them through. And we think about this attitude of continual joy comes as a result of the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to have a positive attitude to stand forthright The writer Robert Louis Stevenson was bedridden during much of his adult life with what was called back in that time consumption. And I know there's a few people around here can remember that word. But the disease had never stifled his optimism. One day his wife heard him coughing badly, and she said to him, "I expect you still believe that it is a wonderful day." Stevenson replied, "I do. I will never permit a row of medicine bottles to block my horizon." That's the spirit that Paul expresses in our text. It is the spirit that we need to reflect in our church. As we stand firm, we stand together, and we stand forthright, knowing and understanding that God is moving and working in and through us. Paul gave a fourth challenge to us this evening in verse 5 when he said, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Well, what does this word translated gentleness mean? Well, it means that it is the quality of going beyond the letter of the law, of going beyond justice. It is the conviction that is better to suffer wrong than to inflict wrong to someone. It is the willingness to give other people the benefit of the doubt. Sweetness, reasonableness, and gentleness subdue explosive temper, stubborn wills. It generates a peace in our lives. Notice what the psalmist says over in Psalm 73:28. "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." Again, we see that aspect of a relationship. Having that relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to know and understand that you are my rock, you are my salvation, you are my refuge, and I can do nothing but tell of your great deeds, how you've worked in my life and how you continue to work in my life. Even in many times you come against life, and many times the flesh would want to rise up and that carnal nature would want to burst out. But we think about the gentleness of God. He loved us so much that He gave His only Son. We look and we see Christ came in His life He reflected how we're to conduct ourselves. Gentleness. Psalm 34:18, the psalmist says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Here again, as we look and we think about this aspect of gentleness, and as we're crushed, you know, we see that the psalmist says that he is there to save those who are crushed in spirit. The tragedy is, as many times as a believer and as you deal with situations and lives, and you can think of individuals that it seems as their spirit was crushed, and when they begin to reflect upon and talking to someone this week and their dealings in life, as they talked to a friend, they said, "You know, I don't know where God is." And they said, "Well, what would you say?" He said, "Where's God? I don't know where He is." A solid believer that is dealing with a spouse that is terminal. And the friend asked him, says, "Have you been reading your Bible? Have you been doing your devotions?" And he had to admit, "No, I haven't." And as we see Paul writing here and reaffirming and encouraging this body that there's a need to be before the Lord. And so often, many times, because of what we're dealing with in life, we've allowed that to oversee and we've gotten our eyes off of Christ. As we think about being in the Word, it helps us to go through those strong times, those hard times, strong, standing firm in the Lord. Helps us to stand together. And also helps us to stand forthright. As I studied this word, looking at gentleness, I thought of a man that I've known in this community for a long time. He had never met a man that he did not help. He would give money. Or if they needed a job, he had some little job that they could do. Or clothes or food to everybody who asked. And many times these people would take advantage of his generosity. And that is what the word in verse 5 means. It means to treat people in the church better than they deserve. To always give them the benefit of the doubt. To suffer wrong rather than to inflict wrong. And as I look at this thing, and I think that it means to, as we build that fellowship, we need to be big-hearted to each other. And as this friend always ministered and even as he was taken advantage of the generosity that he put out. And I asked him one day, I says, why do you do that? He said, do what? Why do you let so many people take advantage of you? And his answer to me was, I'd rather help 100 people who don't need it than to miss helping one who does need it. He used every opportunity to share God's love in the gospel. As we look, we think about being big-hearted. Someone had asked Lincoln how he would treat the Southerners after the war was over and after the nation was reunited. And Lincoln responded, I'll treat them as if they have never been away. And that's the spirit that Paul is expressing in our text. It is the spirit that we need to reflect in our churches. You see, people are drawn to Christ when there is a spirit of working together in the fellowship of the church. For the time is drawing close for the Lord's return. There's much that needs to be done. There is much that He has for each and every one of us. As you move forward in your service and ministering as a church and as an individual in this community, God will do mighty things in and through us if we'll stay focused on the purpose that He has for us, as we will encourage one another within the body of Christ, standing firm in the Lord, being in His Word, and then standing together. There is room for us to see things in a different manner. The one true thing that the body of Christ should protect and always should gather and understand is the truth of this word. the consistency of this word for our life. We can contend if there's wrong interpretation or wrong preaching of the gospel message. We can contend in that. That's why we have elders and deacons and leaders in our church to help us to know and understand to stand together in the Word. To be able to know and understand the purpose that God has for us in ministering and touching lives for Christ. Knowing there's a dark world outside these doors, that's our mission field. And to know that God's Word will guide us and direct us in ministering. And then to stand forthright, even in the dark times of life, along with the good times and the mountaintop experiences that we experience together. And then to know and understand that as we would stand with a big heart, gentleness, as we share the gospel message, as we minister in the lives of needs in people's lives, physically, spiritual needs, and even emotional. He will use each one of us greatly in His work. And that's our challenge to do, that He would be glorified in all that takes place in our life. Let's pray. Father, again, I just thank You for Your Word, Your timeless Word, a Word that Paul spoke to the church at Philippi, even in the disgruntledness that was going on at that time, and his plea that they, the church, would help these two who had a heart for ministry, that they would come to an understanding. And that understanding is through keeping our eyes focused on You and understand Your purpose for the church. And that as we would move forward, and as this church moves forward each day, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would move fresh in the lives of each one. And Father, if there is one here that does not know You, that they would come and they would search out as You draw them to You, that they would know and understand the truth of the gospel. And Father, as followers of Christ, there may be those here that have been complacent in that walk. Father, that You would just draw them to You, that they would commit their lives to being in Your Word and on a daily basis, and to be able to stand firm in that truth, and to be able to help them to draw with the body of Christ to stand together in purpose of sharing the gospel message, to live out the purpose of this body that You've placed here in a very unique way. And Father, we look and we think about the forthrightness to have a positive understanding of Your moving and working in the good times and even in the struggles of life, that we can always express and rejoice in You, because it is something that is taking place within that overflows outward to touch lives around us. And Lord, may we be gentle in our walk. May we be humble. May we be big-hearted as we move each day. You know each need in each life. You know the very aspects that are going on within each life. And again, we think about those that are in physical need and dealing with sickness. I pray that Your will be done in their life. But as we would go from this place this evening, that You would give us a good night's rest. As we awake to a new day that You placed before us, that we would seek the opportunity to share Your loving grace with those around us, that someone would come to know Christ through our walk, that we would just give you all the praise and the glory for that which you do in us and through us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.